Our board meeting today, it is 5:00. We apologize for being a little bit late. We're at 5:04. And the board just met in closed session to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual. And now we are in our regular meeting. We are in the Board of Education Logan City School District office, and those present are board members, as well as our business administrator, our superintendent, our board secretary, as well as our, currently, we have staff here. And we are going to start today with our opening ceremony, and I am wondering if one of our two staff members would be willing to lead us in the pledge. Jed? When you throw someone under the bus, you get thrown under yourself. Would you please lead us in the pledge today?
Okay, ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your willingness to help us with that tonight. I tried to get in here a few minutes early to ask that person, but we were running a little bit late, so I appreciate your help. Do we have any public comment today?
No.
We have no public comment, so we are going to go to our first item, which is our consent calendar, which is action on minutes dated August 8. Oh, sure. August 8, 2017, personnel expenditures and receipts and school land trust amendment.
I'll make a motion to pass the consent calendar.
I would second that as long as we correct the year on the personnel.
I have a...
Unless that needs to be moved off the consent calendar to do that.
I have a comment to make or a question about the consent calendar before it's passed.
All right. Do you want to pull the specific item that you have a discussion on, Connie, from the consent calendar before we discuss it? You have to pull the certain item off the consent calendar first.
What are you pulling off?
I don't know. What are you?
I'm not pulling anything off. I wanted to add something to it before it's passed.
All right. So you need to pull that specific thing off.
Right. And that would be to the minutes.
All right.
Okay.
So is that a friendly amendment to the motion?
What would I like to add? This is not working. I'm sorry.
What I would like to add to the amendments, to the minutes, is in the section after the report of Ken and going to the Advent conference, is I would like to add at the end of that section is a statement that Connie Morgan or the board, however you want to state it, I'm not interested that it be my name, but that a statement be made about the confidence and trust issues. Connie Morgan commented to Ken Ault that what she was pleased with was that the superintendent and the principal were both utilizing the concepts in the book that we read about turn the ship around, although I may not have said turn the ship around, but using the concepts of our flagship notion of our school district, is that the fact that they went to this conference and that they told the teachers and the people that were they supervised, that they told them that they had confidence in them, and that the people who were with them appreciated that confidence, and that those people trusted their figures of authority toward them. And all that did was say that we are following the philosophy that is presented in that book, Turn the Ship Around, and that is that you build confidence in the people who work under you. You build their confidence to that they have the capacity to do what they're supposed to do, and that they learn to trust you.
All right, so that said...
There's a lot of words.
The motion's on the table to approve the consent calendar as it is written in board book. Do I have another motion?
I would approve what's in board book with Connie's addition, but also that when we have the licensed personnel, instead of 2015-16, it would say 2017-18.
Thank you.
On it for licensed personnel.
All right.
So we have two changes.
And sorry, we aren't due. I'm sorry we didn't amend this the way we're supposed to handle the consent calendar. I apologize for that.
All right. So do you want to see the amendment for the minutes prior to approving it? So do you want to pull the minutes off and put them on the next board meeting, or do you want Stacy and I just to put on the minutes what you said? We can pull back the tape and say what and write down what you said during that meeting.
I would like... I don't think it's necessary to pull the minutes if the board agrees that she add a comment that we appreciated them, the confidence and trust issues that we talk about in a flagship program.
Okay, we can only add that if that's what you said during the meeting. So we can pull that information up from the recorded thing and add whatever comment you actually made.
Right, so there's a recording of that, and you can add that.
There's a recording of that, and we can add that if you wish that to be added to the minutes.
I would.
All right, so my question is, do we want to, the motion's been made that we approve the consent calendar with the change of date and personnel, as well as adding the comments that Connie made from the minutes of August 8th. Do I have
the original motion?
I did.
Okay.
Lisa, are you okay with that motion?
I'm fine with that motion.
Okay, so the motion's been made.
I would second that motion as amended.
All right, the motion's been made by Lisa, seconded by Ann, that we approve the consent calendar with the addition of Connie's comments on August 8th under the AVID discussion and changing the date on personnel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. And we will send out an updated, is that possible, Stacy, to send up but it's all been approved. So once it's been approved, you just have to take Stacy and I's word for it that we got right.
But you'll put it in. It'll be in board book.
Oh, it'll be in board book.
Yeah.
There you go. You can look at it. And we will just pull up the tape. Yeah, there you go. We'll just pull up the tape of what was said, and we'll add your comments, Connie. So is that good? Everyone's good. Okay. All right. Second item is action on the third reading of the payroll policy. Jeff.
Okay, so you'll notice that there's just been one change made. Connie had a good question in our last meeting on 5.4.A2 that says even when no leave has been taken by an employee during the month, the form still must be submitted indicating no leave taken. And so if they're using GHG or Kelly Services, then they're not sending in that form, and so they don't send it in anyway. And so as I reviewed that and called the principals of the different elementaries and talked to Shelley, I just felt like we should just strike that whole sentence and leave it out of there. There's no really reason to have one way or the other that part of it done. And if some employees are doing that and some aren't, you know, the ones that do it will continue, the ones that don't won't. And so that was really the only change for the third reading of the policy.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Do I have a motion now on the third reading of the payroll policy?
I would move adoption of draft 3 as the payroll policy as amended.
A second.
On the third reading.
A second.
All right. The motion's been made by by Ann, seconded by Connie to approve the draft 3 of the payroll policy as amended. Any other further comments or questions to Jeff concerning the policy? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very nice. Thank you. We're grateful to finally get that approved on the third reading Thank you, Jeff, for all of your work with that. Now we're going to talk about...
And Ann and Stacy.
Pardon me?
I said Ann and Stacy did a lot of work on that, too.
Thank you very much for Ann and Stacy for helping on that, as always. They do such, everyone does such a great job with policy. All right, now we're moving on to our discussion item, which is updating district policy. Superintendent.
Thank you. With all of the work that is being done on policy and has been done on policy, we've had some additional information come forward that has created some challenges for us. We received a notice from Burbage and White through the Utah School Boards Association, where they send out a CD with all of the requisite policy updates that need to be made based on the most recent legislative session. And in the letter that accompanies the CD with all of those changes, it references 122 substantive policy changes that have to be made. Now, keep in mind, those are only the policy changes that are a result of the most recent legislative session. That has nothing to do with any policy updates that we identify on our own, any transfer of old policies into new format, et cetera. That's just the stuff coming from the legislative session. The amount of time that that requires, to be perfectly honest, is beyond our ability to provide. Even with the tremendous amount of time that Ann and other board members have contributed to policy, with all of the time that Stacy dedicated to simply putting policies into the new format or our current format at the start of the summer, we simply don't have the resources to keep up with that number of policy changes. So what that brings up is really two, well, we, I guess we could say we have four options, three options. One is we could continue to limp along updating policy as we can and just recognize that we're going to have policies that are out of date or out of format, and we're just going to keep doing it as we can. Another option is we hire someone to come in and just work policy at minimum, a part-time person. The trick would be finding a part-time person with the requisite writing ability and, you know, preferably a little bit of policy or legal background, who could come in and do that work. Or the third option is we choose to adopt, as a starting point, the policies as written by Burbage and White as provided through USBA. I would not suggest, if that were the direction we went, a blanket approval by any means, but I would suggest that we would, if that were the course that we chose to go, we would say, this is the format of the policy we're going to use. We will still read the policy first, make sure it reflects what we want to say. If there are any, as we've identified before, there are certain things that occasionally are in their policies that do not apply to that. One of the most recent examples, when we did our cash receiving, cash handling policies, they reference a district cashier. We do not have a district cashier as a position, so we had to, you know, clarify that in the language. Those, as we've discussed it, Stacy and I have talked about this quite a bit. Jeff and I have discussed it. We reviewed it with the directors and talking about how do we make sure that our district policies are written and set up in a way that they accomplish what we need them to accomplish. Those are really the only three options that we see. We continue to just kind of do the best we can. We find a way to pay someone to come in and do that for us using our format, or we choose to go with the policies as written and provided through USBA as part of the service that we pay for with our dues. I'd be happy to discuss any other options that the board sees, but with the energy that's gone into policy over the last few years and with the goals that the board has and with the time that's been put into it this summer, I feel like we need to have some discussion and identify what do we want to accomplish with our policy, with the writing and the format of policy, and try to figure out a path moving forward. Connie.
Has anyone looked at the 122? Can't believe it. Wow. And looked in what the depth and significance of each of them are.
Like, are 50 of them, or just need to change
this word to this word, or all of the major policy changes that require tons of writing?
We have not gone through all of them in depth. What we've seen as we visited with Nate about it is they're substantial.
That's
now, what that means in terms of how much writing that requires,
substantial.
Hard to say, but they are substantive. They will have a significant impact on the content of the policy.
That was my question here, the depth, the impact, the significance of all of them. So when you say substantive, that's big enough word.
And
this, of course, has been an issue for me for a long time. And when Frank came in, I remember sitting down and talking with him and saying, this is so challenging because the time it takes for me to do it, it's approximately 20 hours if, you know, I'm really working on it the way it needs to be. Then it takes approximately 20 hours, just the wordsmithing, and I always went to the law because I found what we received, unless you were the most current year, was not always updated. And I also, being on a charter school board for a while, they would get something from their state association that would say, this is... This is what, you know, you might want to use. And then we would make a few changes to it so that it was worded more. What I would suggest is we maybe, so that things don't look different, we maybe keep the blue on the top so it shows the date adopted, what it is, and use the same numbering system that we've started with rather than what they have with Burbage and White. They've continued the DGJ, whatever, you know, the kind of interesting lettering. But if we could just, instead of having the purpose, the definitions, the this, the that, yes, it's nice to have it in the same format every time, but most of the laws that are passed, they say boards will have a policy that says these procedures are in place. And so to pull out the procedures and the policy takes a lot of time. Those, you know, your staff members who've tried doing that, it takes a lot of time to pull them out. If we could just use what they have, keep the top, and then just take a Burbage and White policy, make the changes that we need to, and if words really bother us, because sometimes the wording bothers some of us, we could adopt legal policies that we could be updated. I've kind of pushed this for a number of years, that let's do this, because we could get a lot more done. And so, to me, that would be the best way to do it. Just because I think hiring somebody, and I actually know someone who would probably be good at it, but I don't know. I think we'd go ahead and wordsmith it with that person anyway. And it's still, we're never going to get updated because the legislature always meets in February.
But if you change it from, is it going to just make it more cumbersome if you change it from how they've written it and put it into our numbering format?
If we were to adopt the policies coming from Burbage and White, I would recommend that we not use our numbering format as we currently do, because the simple copying and pasting is tedious and does take a lot of time. But if I understand Ann's recommendation, the numbering wasn't part of that, but the block at the start with the title,
and the
date numbering, adopted.
Just doing the numbering's a nightmare because
right.
Every sentence we have requires a new number. And when other people work with it, I'll think, oh, they've got three sentences in that one, and now I've got to do a subheading. And it really takes a lot of time. I think eventually most that we already have passed would be redone by the state, and we could just change from the new format. But, you know, I think that we could have some people do some investigation on how we really want to change it. but to me, what we have been doing for the last 8 years, it's so time intensive, and you can't keep up with it. So that's just my personal.
So you would say use the
verbiage in white,
but put it into like our heading
if we wanted to,
but
not the numbering.
You wouldn't have a.
Well, what I would clarify with the numbering system, I think Ann is saying we don't worry about the line numbering, but the policy numbering. So policies with human resources are these hundreds.
Oh, got you.
We use that numbering system, but not the line numbering.
I understand.
Right. So it's section one, 110, 102, that kind of numbering.
Got you.
But that we don't do the individual line number because just doing that, Stacy and I know, just doing the line numbering.
I was looking at Stacy's face going. Oh, that's why I was clarifying.
The line numbering's a nightmare.
Okay, Connie.
Did you say Kanya?
Connie.
Oh, I hope you did. It was cute.
Kanya.
That's a new name.
Kanya.
What I'm wondering is, could you send us, or I'm not expecting you to tell us offhand right now, 122 policy changes. Is it like we need to change our weapons policy, our drugs policy, our enrollment policy, our... What are the policies that we're talking about?
Our safety policy, our safe schools policy, our drug
and
alcohol.
That's what I mean. Yeah, what are they?
Changes they made with the juvenile justice system, right, Marcy? Affects, what, about five or six policies substantially?
Okay, I know that you went through all those things, so it's like...
Stacy and I can look and see if there's a simple way to compile that. If there's... On the document that they sent us, it has all the changes that have to be made in the CD.
Is that 122?
I don't know if there's a single...
122 policies.
Okay, so the CD doesn't have a summary page. It's got every
one of them.
So it would be cumbersome to try to get you a summary of everything.
Is it 122 changes or 122 policies?
122 policies that have to be changed.
I don't expect you to send them all. Could you just say, like, well, here are seven of them. Never mind.
You can come in and look at them.
I'll come in and look at them. Don't even take a picture of them and send them.
Most of us don't have CDs.
Maybe you can take a picture and send them.
It's pages and pages and pages. Well, and the thing is, we did not update from last year the changes that needed to be made or the previous year the changes that needed to be made. And so truly, I have felt like, you know, even if we go at it running, because the legislature meets, we get further and further behind because we've come up with this wonderful format. And unless we have an attorney on staff.
I totally, sorry.
We're paying for
Burbage and White. From Burbage and White anyway. They vetted it. They've gone through the whole system. They've aligned it with law. There's really no reason for us to reinvent the wheel, and I really don't see the only one that really likes the numbering system. I don't even know who likes the numbering system, but you don't. I've referred people quite frequently to policy, but I don't say please go look at line 5-4-A-2. I'll say please go look at the parent involvement policy, and so I don't really feel like the. I mean, I don't think we should strike them all.
We do sometimes in this group. We'll say go to
when we 5. Get it.
Point B, point 3, point C, point 1.2.
We do. I mean, that's what I'm saying is that we use it, but we don't. I don't think the public uses that numbering system.
The only thing I would like to have is you're right. We pay them to do that, so let them do that. Like Ann said, also. I just would like to get a copy somehow. If somebody's changing it.
We'll adopt them. We'll adopt them. We won't just take them.
I'd like to look at what's getting changed.
We will.
We will. We're going to do them one at a time.
I know. But, I mean, I would just like to see.
Go in and visit Stacy.
And you may look at
them. Okay.
And we'll probably, we just want
to. I already said that. What I would like to do is say, Stacy. Could you make a copy for any of us who would like to just see what's going to be happening? Is that too hard? How thick is it?
It's a CD.
It's a CD. Okay.
I have a CD player. If you can look into your laptop.
Good.
So if you're talking a hard copy, you're probably talking over 200 pages.
Never mind.
It would be 122 policies with those changes. So it'd be a binder if we were to print it all off.
So do you foresee that if we go that route, which would be a decision we would vote on here, I would guess, are we going to vote on that or just discuss it?
No, I think at this...
Frank says we're getting new microphones, thankfully. I think that we've discussed this as well, and so pretty much what the board needs to do is to give direction that says
we are going to use the policies that are given by Burbage and White, and that we would identify which policies of the ones they have done, and then we would bring them to the board, and then we would go through each policy as we have in the past.
But we could do 5 or 6 per board meeting rather than 1 or 2.
Because who will this? Like Frank said, some of those will have to be adapted to our district, and so we can't adopt all 125 of them across the board blanket by just saying we're going to adopt those.
When do they have to go into effect?
Probably July 1st. The laws change July 1st.
The law changed to July 1st, so ideally it would be something that we would address promptly. We know we have other policies that are out of date that we're working on, so it's not as if there's a policy oversight committee at the state that is going to slap our hands if we don't have this done in the next month. I think for us it's just an understanding that we need to move promptly on this. And
can we have a statement
then? Can't delay it too long.
I think Ann said something similar, a statement about policies, those 122, however it needs to be stated, is that if we have a policy that is out of date that needs to be changed according to what's happened with the legislature, is that we will follow this state policy or something, so that some people can say, well, you're not following the state policy. I read it on your website, and the state says this, and you say this. How soon is it expected that we will not only have them, I know that we've got to have time to get them on there. We've got to have time to review them. We have time to say we're going to do them. But they're expected to go into effect the minute those kids walk in that door, right?
Right, and policy is generally to help us govern our behavior as a district. We're expected to comply with law from the moment the law takes effect, and law will always supersede district-specific policy. So we could, I don't think the fact that we don't have a written policy updated immediately is going to create a situation where someone says, well, you're violating state law because your policy is not updated. Now, if we were to continue to leave that there and not be working on it, then yeah, I think someone could create an issue there.
So
but if we can demonstrate...
with a statement on our website that, you know, there have been many legislative changes during the last year which require school districts to change their policies. Any policy that we need to be changed will be followed. I mean, certainly you're much more articulate in saying that. You could say it in 5 words. It'll take me 2 paragraphs. You could just make a basic statement, because there will be someone, some 2s or 3s or 4s, who will take exception to it. And it goes in just as a negative, one more negative, as opposed to all the positive things that we're doing. That's the one thing that somebody would pinch at. And or is it wrong to put a statement in and saying that we intend to follow all state policies, even though we are working to update all of ours? I know I'm making sense. I'll say I'm making sense.
You are. I'm just thinking through
how to do it.
The kind of some more information with it. Sorry.
I was going to say, I mean, I would be comfortable saying that I would give board leadership the ability to prioritize which ones go first.
And on that same thing, in the past, sometimes there have been laws that were, you know, we had to have the parental rights one, and we had to have the religious constitutional rights of students one. It was required by a certain date. We had to have that done. I would think that we either would have that with the information we received from USBA, or you would have from the state superintendent. The previous years there have been some that you must have this by September 1st or whatever. We should check and see if any of them, if there are any of those, because once in a while there have been.
quickly adopt those if they do need to come, and then we assign some of them so that we're, you know, really working on getting them in, with the wording we think we want and that it follows what we do in our district, though we would need to follow the law as well, but that we make it our, a Logan policy, and we do 5 or 6 or more per meeting.
I do like keeping our heading and numbering system like we've had. I don't feel like keeping the numbering in the body.
You're the only one I can't hear.
I don't think that keeping the numbering in the body is that important, but keeping the consistency and the heading and how we've numbered those, I think that's important, but the other part I don't think is.
I don't think anybody's even going to notice except
I mean, it does help them.
Hurrah, they're not doing it that way.
It does help when we're working on them, but other than that, that if somebody's reading that policy, it doesn't mean anything to them.
Frank and Stacy, I haven't looked at the CD, but on the CD, are all those policies updated?
So
but I mean,
their previous one,
so are they, what I'm asking is, are they already done so that we could just vote and, okay, so they're already done. So I'm wondering then, would it be something that the board would just want to read through those, and if they're, you know, in any of those policies as you read them, if something's, then you can bring that up as a policy that we need to debate, and then we don't have to do 6.1 policies per board meeting.
That's exactly why we're having this conversation.
Right now,
yeah.
That we want to pretty much adopt the policies that Burbage and White have sent us.
So we don't have to read those 122.
We don't have to go through a lot of extra work to get to where we would be, even if we adopt our own policy. It's going to be very similar to what they've already given us.
Right.
So we just want to change theirs into our.
We don't want to do all 122 at the same time.
No, we would probably do, like Ann said, 5 or 6 at a time.
But okay, what I'm saying is, if you went through and read the 200 pages and then just identified those that you wanted to bring into the meeting, and then the rest of them you just adopt in bulk, so that you're not having to review 6 at every board meeting. You know what I mean? As you read through, because a lot of them are just going to be straightforward. No changes. And I think you could make a list of those that you could maybe just adopt in bulk and save a lot of work for everybody.
Maybe we'll go through those and look at the CD, identify which ones probably could be just blanket, and then the rest would maybe. That might be a good idea where we adopt a bulk of them, because maybe a bulk of them can be adopted as is.
When I asked.
Even with that, we would still have to identify them under our own label and or our own.
When I asked about getting a copy from Stacy, and we talked about it was 200 pages, so if Jeff, this is what, if we're going to do it, can we each have a CD? Is that what you want to have a CD, look through the CD, and identify the ones that we have any concerns with? How long does it take to copy a CD?
Five minutes.
I think that at least my feelings are going forward. We'll work with Stacy and Frank. Maybe we can look at all the ones that could, like Jeff said, adopt. Somehow we'll get those to the board, either through a CD or through a portal or whatever it is. And then the rest of them we'll have to filter through. So the conversation today is, are you all comfortable with us using the policies by Burbage and White? That's the first step in moving forward.
Can we vote on that?
No, it's not. Are we comfortable with using those policies moving forward? We're not voting as much as we're just letting you know that that's the direction that we'd like to take.
So are you saying that until otherwise stated, we maybe don't want one or we want to change one or whatever, between now and forever, between now and whenever any other decision is made, okay, that makes sense, that we will accept the policies as written by Burbage?
No, we're just going to use them as a template moving forward. We're going to take their policies and make them our own. There's nothing to vote on as much as it's just an information, a discussion item that says we feel like that in order to save time and to update our policies more effectively by using the Burbage and White policies, we can get those done quicker.
The policies are the format.
The policies. Other than hiring somebody else to just write them all for us. We're saying we want to use Burbage and White.
That's what I'm, and that's what I said.
But we're not voting to adopt their policies.
No.
Then what are we doing? We're using them.
No, we're just, what we want to do is have your, this opens the discussion whether we want to rewrite our own policies by ourselves or whether we want to use Burbage and White policies.
If we use their policies, then we are adapting
them. But we're not adopting. We're going to use them to move forward in passing
policy. Okay. See, that was my first question. Are we going to just use them as a starting point until we go through them further? When I said we use them now until we do something with them later.
But they're not adopted.
I said use. We will take them and use them as they are written, right?
But we're going to adopt them.
As we go down, but right now we are taking what they have. As when you say move forward, it's my same thing when I said it's okay. So we are going to use theirs as written, and then we're just going to work with them one at a time. And we may take one, and we may not take one. But using, what is the difference between using them now and adapting them?
Well, I think she's saying you're going to review them. So you're going to use their policies to review. So we haven't adopted those policies, and we won't use them, but we're using them as a review. So you guys will look at their policies as you go through it as a template, but we'll base it off of that. Is that what you're saying, Christy?
We're using theirs to start as a starting point.
Understand
that. For our policy, instead of hiring, like, say, another lawyer to work with us to write all our own policy.
I understand that. I guess what was not understood is my question is that I would, for example, vote that we use their policies as they are written as we go through, and then we start looking at them individually and determining whether or not we want to keep that one that way or change it. And is that what you're saying is when we start adopting?
We can't just adopt them blanket and adopt all of them at once.
Right.
One swoop. We have to go through them as Board of Education. We have to go through each.
I hope so. Right. That was my hope.
So they're not going to be adopted until we adopt them by policy.
No blanket adoption.
So we're not a blanket adoption. That's what I was hoping we weren't doing. But when you say we are going to use theirs until we have something better.
No.
We're going to use their policies and make them our own. We're going to use the policies that they've written in.
And they're going to be our starting point for working on our policy.
So there will be 122 policies that we need to redo still.
Yes.
We're not, so we have that work set out for us.
I understand that, Lisa. What I'm saying is that when we stay using them, the point is that we are not adopting, but we are accepting to use their policy. If we came into difficulty with, say, policy 69, and we're using policy 69 as a starting point that they have, and it's one that needs to be changed, what do we do? Do we use their 69 policy or our current 69 policy?
We use state law.
We use our current policy. We
and
use
state
our current
law.
Policy until we've adopted something different.
Well, we do have to go, or state law. State law always trumps, and that's what we've said for the 20 years I've been on the board. If we haven't amended a policy, we go. I know currently Marcy is doing with juvenile justice stuff. Dave is doing with juvenile justice stuff. He's not doing what our policy states with the safe schools policy. He's following the law. And so law trumps policy right now.
And that's why I was hoping that we would make a statement of something that says, this is what we're using, and if you want to say using it as a starting point as we go through and redo ours so that people know that we're doing something.
And I'm not trying to be argumentative. I really believe that we should take it, use it as a starting point. But the manner in which it's phrased makes a great deal of difference to me, okay? And maybe it's I am semantically oversensitive or whatever you want to call it. But somebody will bite the word. You watch it. It's always the one word that will kill us. So I just think we need to, however that gets stated, needs to be said very carefully so it doesn't sound like we have adopted those without ever even looking at them, because that's what makes. I'm sitting here going, I haven't even looked at them. I don't even know what the
no,
one in ten of what
we
they
are.
Are.
Doing that. We're just going to use those as a starting point. Yeah. If we had intentions of adopting them all, it would be an action item, not a discussion item.
So how will you state it? What we're going to do? Agree on today?
What I would suggest we state is say we're simply as we move forward with revising our policies and updating policies to be in compliance with current state law, we will be using policy drafts received from USBA created by Burbidge and White.
See, the key
and that's
is
what we will be working with as we adopt our
okay.
policies.
The two words to me are created by USBA and the word draft by them. So those two words make all the difference in the
world. Do you have that, Stacy?
And so then whenever there's a question coming up of how are we going to update this policy, we can always go back to we are using the draft policies provided through USBA by Burbidge and White. We're looking to see if there are any items in the policy that do not apply to our district, and we all have a ready example with the language relating to your district cashier. We can say we're just making sure that language like that isn't in the policy, so when we adopt it, it
those two
reflects
words
our need.
Created by because they just didn't come out of the blue. They're created by and they're drafted by. That clears it up for me.
All right. Any other comments or any other discussion items about the district policies? I feel like that will give us a chance to get those updated in a reasonable fashion and hopefully much quicker than if we had just done those drafts by ourselves. So. Thank you very much. All right. Now we're going on to a report on the Joint Legislative Committee. We're very grateful that Ann and Jenny were able to go to that for us and represent our board in that capacity. So Ann and Jenny.
All right. Jenny asked me if I would go over the joint legislative priorities that we dealt with. It was interesting this year. Those of you who've gone before, we've usually done very much parliamentary procedure and had three quarters of the delegate assembly totally lost on what we're doing. And Nancy Kennedy this time went through and took a lot of time just talking about what it said, answering people's questions about what it said, and saying, if you don't like the way this says, it says currently, then when we go into parliamentary procedure, you're going to amend it. But let's all understand what it says. And at first I thought, oh, no, that's not the way we do it. But it really ended up being faster because, you know, as soon as you get into somebody calling previous question or whatever, half the group doesn't know that you're voting on whether to vote or not and all of that. And so it moved quite a bit faster. You have those priorities in front of you. I'm just going to walk through a little bit changes we made from the version 2.2 you received in the mail. The first change we made is originally that ongoing obligations and commitments used to say 70 plus million total. The total was taken out on all of those. The first two red lined had total on it, and we said, no, don't say we want 70-plus million total. We want 70-plus million. And so that was struck, and that was a very good one. And we had some very good discussion about fully funded student growth, including the line item categories. Previous years, we've listed all of those line item categories. Sometimes we've gotten bogged down in those line item categories because certain legislators say, well, I don't want to fund this or I don't want to fund that. We also feel like the last few years we've done a lot of education about what does it mean to fully fund growth. It's not just above the line, it's also below the line. So we talk about that. Hopefully everyone in the Delegate Assembly understands now what it means to fully fund growth. And then from ongoing current education fund revenues, $170.5 million, we struck the total, and support 21st century learning with a 5.5 WP increase that includes a 2.5 necessary to maintain current levels of service. And I think last year we finally got it across with the legislators that just to keep our doors open, we need that 2.5% increase or we have to cut. And so that was discussed, and also to attract, develop, and retain quality educators. We had quite a discussion on that. We were sitting with some people around us that got a little bit heated with those who have really increased and have done some things that other school districts have not been able to do. That the people sitting on the end of our table, I was sitting by Mr. Grunig's father, and we got a little bit interesting during that time, but it was a good discussion to have. The $5 million a year as part of a five-year plan to attain the 85% state support to and from transportation costs, as in statute. And, you know, somebody, of course, said, well, why shouldn't we require them to do it all? And they said, it doesn't matter what we require the state to do. It's what the legislature decides to fund. And if we can work on that $5 million per year, and then, of course, we have to go with the NEF schools, and we don't have any NEF schools, but it's very important. Then on these the expand education funding revenues to increased equitable opportunities, we talked a lot about that there will be several equalization bills brought to the legislature, one by Howard Stevenson. There are several other people who have theirs. And so we felt like it's necessary for us to have a plan in place. And when Lyle Hilliard and Dan McKay, who are legislators and they're on the Education Appropriations Committee, heard Terry Shoemaker's proposal the night before of what would any equitable program look like for equalization, Representative McKay said, oh, and you also want to cure cancer. And one of our school board members said, if we educate our kids properly, they will be the ones to cure cancer. So it was interesting that way. But so set the floor of the basic rate, then also set the local and capital levies and the 5 years to capture. Because the thing is, any plan, it can, if you don't do that five-year inflationary rate. One thing we did take off, there was a third bullet, and we had a lot of discussion on it, and that was cap the amount of education funds that higher education receives. With the input we had received from the legislators the night before, and also we had discussion with our schools now people, it was brought up that if we kind of bring up the higher ed and they can pit higher ed and public ed against each other, instead of saying we want to increase educational funding for all of education, that line could be a problem. And so we decided as a group that if it was brought up in the legislature by a legislator, we would very much support cap the amount of funds, education funds that higher education receives, but that it was not going to be on our proposal that would be seen by legislators, but that we approved that anyone on the Joint Legislative Committee could really jump on that and go with it. But it was, we wanted to make sure that we weren't defeating the Our Schools Now by adding that line. So that was.
That third
bullet is not there, but we did discuss that that is something that as a Delegate Assembly we agreed was important to us and that in the future we would work for, and that if the discussion was brought up, we would work for it.
We didn't get it.
No, you didn't get it because we struck it.
We don't want to hurt ourselves with
We don't want to hurt ourselves, and I think the discussion was good because Christy and I have been there when we used to shoot ourselves in the foot and get certain people in the state upset with other people in the state. And as Sid Dixon told us, we were being rather schizophrenic that, you know, we couldn't support that because it wasn't what we supported, even though it was good. And some of those things. So the discussion was really good. Jenny.
Well, we kind of had a good discussion off this too, with that being at the end and having it come off, was that we wanted to create a list that would be kind of positive and successful, and to not have that be the last thing that they looked on that priority list. Like, can we create a list that was a possible and successful and doable?
The funds you gave us this year list.
Yeah. So some of the other things that we talked about too was like on this chart that they got. This is a beginning point and a talking point because there were still a few counties that were or school districts that. They still had concerns over it, and so that was kind of a beginning point. So that was a good thing. And then also too, on that third point, the second point on the bottom on the expanded education funding, to have the citizens understand that that set that floor on the local board and capital levy, that had been creeping down for quite a few years, and to help the public understand that is just to have it stay. That unless their property has been assessed and increased, that their taxes would stay the same. And this is a statewide tax. So that took a little discussion, I think, for everyone to understand that. And so that would not be an increase in their taxes. It would just stay the same unless they had an increase in their assessment. A couple other things. We talked about too. Senator McKay pointed out, of course, Senator Hilliard and McKay kind of had their spills about if our schools now. Senator McKay had concerns that if our schools now did fail, that he had concerns about teachers feeling, you know, that we need to make sure that they felt appreciated and valued if that did not pass. And so that would be something that we needed to create a message and have them make sure that they do feel appreciated and valued no matter what happened and what the outcome was. And I thought that was a good point and concern. Also, that all those things, actually everything did pass unanimously. Which almost unanimously, I guess, almost pretty much, except for when it's... And then also, they did on the pre-delegate assembly when they talked about our schools now, they talked about the framework and how the money would be distributed and how it worked, and then it was a lot of sending the money into local control and how that would work and how each school would need to have a performance plan and a budget and how that kind of would work, and that we kind of worked out funding. It would basically worked to be about $719 per student if that did pass and work through, and they were going to begin signatures soon. There were 51 of 73 delegates that were there to vote, so they had a pretty good turnout.
So did the delegate assembly vote on whether they supported our schools now, or was it just a discussion?
They did not. They just had a discussion and a presentation for us that night with the pre-delegate. But it was, then they...
They did ask if any of us wanted to do signatures, mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how many responded, but it was basically, if you want to do this as an individual, go for it, but the delegate assembly was not going to
take a position
on the side. And then the other good discussion about the equalization was it kind of was a good start and a beginning discussion there and thoughts in people's minds, but they said, you know, our main concern about equalization was that a student should not be penalized by their geography, which I thought was a great comment.
But hey, come to Logan.
Very informative. It was good, and I think a lot of people were very united in their thoughts. So,
Very nice. Any other questions for Jenny or Ann about the joint legislative?
Thanks for going.
I have a question, because this has been an interesting conversation with the superintendents. When the discussion of equalization came up, was there a clarification among the GLC members as to what the intended outcomes of any discussion of equalization were? I found that a lot of the discussions have focused on, well, how would you, what would you do money-wise, and how would you balance the money, and how would you distribute it, without necessarily getting to a clear statement of this is what we are trying to accomplish. Was there anything of that that came out of that conversation?
Mostly this was the discussion and explaining how this worked. And, of course, it was like, you're all going to contribute, you're all going to pay, and hopefully in 5 years we'll all be in an equal place. But they never got to, like, you know,
Terry did list business.
But
any equalization must have these items in it, and I've got that written down on my other note. It needs to have this, it needs to have this, it needs to have this. And part of it was that we wouldn't be giving up, and, you know, the way it was presented last time where, okay, we're going to take what you would have gotten from the WPU and take that away. And so it was discussed that it shouldn't affect the WPU. And so he had some ground rules, and I have those written down in some other things. And we could go on for hours just discussing their equalization proposals. It was more of a proposal of, anything that is presented should include these items if we're to agree with it.
But I did hear some chatter after of people discussing and talking about, you know, tougher socioeconomic school districts. And so there was some discussion after and between and amongst people about the different schools have more different, you know.
Terry said any property tax equity proposal guiding principles. This is what they talked about. It must be new money. It must be the distribution of funds must be within existing mechanisms. Strengthen other revenue sources. Then they also said place a cap on education funds received by higher ed. Fully fund transportation's costs to what is required in statute. Create the same local board levy cap, the 000, how many zeros, the 0.25. You know, that instead of some districts had the 16 or the 18 or the 25 like we have. And so those were just some basically guiding principles that they talked about, and most people could agree upon those.
I think in order for any discussion of equalization at the state level to work, there's going to have to be some discussion, and I will work with the superintendents on this. I'll ask Jeff to work with the BAs, and if we can continue to work with the JLC. We have not clarified at the state level, across the state, what are we trying to accomplish with equalization? What is our finish line? What is our intended destination? How will we know if we've accomplished what we wanted to accomplish with equalization? Because we haven't been willing to tackle the question of what do we mean when we say equalization. And until we do that, we're not going to have a common goal that we're working towards. So individuals who do not want equalization are going to be able to easily divert the conversation to other areas, or those who have their pet proposal for equalization will be able to promote their proposal, because there isn't a concrete understanding of this is what we're trying to accomplish. So I'm going to continue to push the superintendents for that. Say, at minimum, we have to have a common understanding of this is what we are trying to accomplish through a discussion of equalization. If we continue to talk about the steps to equalization, or what spreadsheet will be used, or what format will be used, without clarity of outcome, then I think it will continue to be shut down.
Thank you. And
we won't get anywhere. So I would ask that as we continue to work with the JLC, and as Jeff and I work with our counterparts across the state, that become a central component of our conversations.
Well, in any discussion with a legislator who is proposing legislation, it should be,
what are you trying to accomplish with this equalization? What does your plan accomplish? Because, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes it has not been equitable.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, oftentimes it seems like that those that would benefit from equalization are the ones that would seem to be more, well, in less need of equalization.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like the bigger districts sometimes get more of the...
I agree with Frank about the definition. Without the definition of what it means and what you're aiming for, then everybody's just going off on their own and what's best for them. Could you keep us up? Let us know your thoughts on that. Just maybe even at 11:30 at night, it comes to your mind. You go, I think, no.
Well, anytime we have conversations, Jeff and I will make sure that you all get updated on where discussions with the superintendents and business administrators are, and we'll continue to see if we can come up with language that we feel reflects what we would like to see happen and advocate for that.
Because during the discussion when we were talking about this, like Emory County's, you know, school districts stood up, and they do not fall under the state guarantee program. But they said, you know, our school district has some very unique, you know, challenges. So they didn't feel like they fell under, you know, the definition of equitable, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why in the end, Terry said, this is just the beginning point of the discussion. And that's why we need to keep talking about equitability and what does it mean. So...
You know, as the discussions continue to get perhaps more public and our constituents and teachers, people begin to ask us about equalization more, I would like to be able to say the same thing that you're saying. Just as that whole reason for asking that to put in the minutes was because, and I only said it after you did your presentation on Thursday when you said again, flagship, and you brought that up again on Thursday, your presentation. And so, again, we're all saying, you know, the same thing, but especially on the equalization, I would not want to say something that it wasn't what you were saying.
All right, thank you very much, Ann and Jenny, for representing the board again at the pre and the delegate assembly. It's always a great time to be able to be with our fellow board people across the state, and it's important for us to represent ourselves in those functions. So thank you very much for going up for that report. All right, the next thing is our discussion on board goals. It will be in your board packet. We have identified and written down the goals that we kind of talked about during our leadership trainings during the summertime, and I apologize for having those delayed all the way into August, but with the summer and board members, we wanted to have full discussion of all board members here when we talked about our board goals. So you'll see them as outlined in your board packet. Obviously, the wording isn't necessarily specific. We don't really have to debate words as much as it's just if there's a concept that you're not quite comfortable with. I tried to draft those as from the notes that I've taken from our meeting. I did take the liberty of making our goal three, which is that we'll always receive the NBA award from the USDA as one of our goals. I hope that was okay that I did that. First of all, we had that in a communication, but I really felt like it should be its own goal. So the goal one and the goal two are specifically from our leadership thing, and then with the addition of receiving the NBA. Any comments about that or anything that we clarify or understand
fine. I thank you for putting it together. Okay. When I saw it, that was my question, you know, and I appreciate your, you know, the quick answers on that. I like the way that you've put it together, worded it. The only word that I would want to change is the word elevator speech, because we talk about elevator music, elevator anything is always such a negative sort of thing. Could we call, I know what you mean by elevator speech. We need to have that quick of the tongue, quick, very short, precise. It needs to be short and precise, but short and precise doesn't flow off the tongue as nicely as elevator speech.
And I only use elevator speeches because that's the word that we used during that meeting.
Right.
So
and
I
I'm saying.
Putting down words, what we actually had wrote. But I understand.
And I'm not going to not pass it.
So come up with a word for it. Yeah, come up with a good word for it.
I don't know. If there's not another better word, I'm not going to say don't take it. I just thought maybe there was something a little snappier or... Come on.
Perhaps not snappier. You say a two-minute statement or a 30-second statement, a brief statement.
Positive propaganda.
Okay, your propaganda speech. That's your politicians.
That's the quotation. It's the concept. Once again, it's just the concept of what we.
And I know that. I just wondered.
It's not policy.
It's not policy. The other thing that we did talk about was having a joint elevator speech, but I really feel like it's. We have enough things, and I think it depends on which situation you're in.
Yes.
You need to be prepared with several that you can say, well, these are the great things happening at Logan High. These are the great things that are happening at the middle school. These are the great things that are happening, you know, in our elementary school. These are the great things that are happening at the district office.
Then
so
make
really
it
in your brain, you
yeah.
need to be in a situation where you can positive. And if
you're
you
standing over the lettuce. And someone comes up and goes, oh, hi.
Yeah.
And all you're thinking about is the price of the lettuce.
Yeah.
And then they say something to you. Could you add there, be accurate and be precise? Never mind, don't add anything. Accurate and precise, accurate and positive.
On what?
Why don't you just, or how about,
well,
and if not.
There's positive right there.
Right. Can you put, or be dumbfounded? Because it's, you could simply go, huh?
Well, sometimes you have to say
or refer, make a referral. I feel, call Suzanne. I talked to her about that yesterday, and I forgot what you said because I didn't hear her.
I think the thing that...
it's fine.
What we'll do to report these is that as you have appropriate interactions with the community that you can share during your reports during board meeting, that would be perfectly, if it's not going to disclose any personal information about any of our employees, or if you've gone to one of your community council meetings or your PTA meetings, that would certainly be a great time for you to report that as well. And then as we progress on the MBA, you know, if you're doing something that the rest of us would benefit from, just because it is a little bit, Jenny has a very specific list of things to do, and I think Connie,
it's Lisa.
Yes. Of what?
Oh,
I still.
So
it was my third year.
So
of what?
The rest of us have to do. That's right, Lisa. That's right.
We're fifth year, so we just keep doing the same things over and over.
We have
again.
To create. We kind of create our own goals. So
our own
you
what?
You guys have things that you know that you're doing. You know, make sure you show
master
up.
Master board the word.
What am I not doing?
No, Master Boards Award, we come up with our own because of where we are.
Yeah, yes. Since you're further along.
Does it work now? Oh, it's working now.
Things.
Yeah.
As Jenny and I do.
Anyway, any other comments about those? All right, we did not approve Superintendent or Jeff's goals, so we're just going to post those and reflect though on those unless you feel like we need to approve those, and we'll add those to the consent calendar for next board meeting. Does anybody have a wish on those? Are they good to not have them approved?
To me, you know, we don't approve anyone else's.
Should we approve
goals, evaluation goals? I don't think since in their contracts it states that they're evaluated in a closed session. I don't know that their goals need to be a public goal because to me that would be. Part of their contract. So I think it would be better not to. The things they want to present to the public,
yeah.
That would be great. But,
right. They're on, that's,
if we come up with something for them to work on, it's probably better not to.
So maybe what we'll do for the future is that when we do the minutes, maybe we'll specifically write the goals in the minutes so that at least there'll be a public written record for the public if they want to see what our actual goals are. Any other questions about that? All right, perfect. Good luck on your goals. Maybe there'll be a little reward or something at the end if you get them all done.
Chris will bring you chocolate.
I'll bring you something, some treat. Or Connie will make you a beautiful card. All right, we're going into reports, which is first our financial report from our business administrator, Jeff. Did you know you have the financial report? Okay.
Okay. So you'll see on the financial report that this is the first financial report of our fiscal year, and so we don't have a whole lot of expenses. You'll notice the percentages of revenues and expenditures are really pretty low. We don't do a whole lot of receiving revenue or education in the first month of the year in July, and so that's why all of those are low. But it looks good. It reflects the tentative budget where we anticipate going this year. So everything looks to be in order. Are there any questions about the budget? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you very much, Jeff. Superintendent report.
Hi, briefly, we've had recent interactions, so I don't know if there's a whole lot of new to share with you all. I just want to first express appreciation to the board for being present for our start of the year kickoff activities last week. I know that taking some time to be there can be a challenge in the middle of the day, especially when we break your day up, but I appreciate you taking the time to be there. You also had a brief opportunity to see a little bit of our new teacher induction activities. I want to commend, you know, Jed Grunig and Melissa Richardson for running that, getting that set up, creating positive experiences for those teachers. And one of the things that I'll just a brief window into how they function, one of the things I really appreciated is at the end they wanted to get feedback from the participants on how it went, what things were beneficial, what questions they still had. And they gathered some pretty detailed feedback from the new teachers, and they've already had discussions with one another and with me about what changes they can make for next year based on that feedback, what things we can refine and continue to provide the type of experience for our new teachers that we want them to have. We, as we've discussed, we want our new teachers at the end of that induction experience to have a very clear picture of what the purpose of the district is, what we expect of our new teachers, and the supports and resources that are available to help them meet those expectations. So they structured, Jed and Melissa structured the 3 days to address those issues. What are the things that we expect? What are the resources that are available? And what are the supports that we provide? And they did that through involving building level coaches, the building level principals, our participation. Having the governor visit was kind of a nice unexpected addition, but that aligned with what we were trying to accomplish. So I appreciate what Jed and Melissa did to put that together and make sure that our new teachers had a positive initial experience with our district. And it was fun to interact with them. We have a great new group, and we're excited to have them in our district. The kickoff meetings, again, I'd like to commend our principals for the work they did during the day. If you had stayed around, as many of you did, and you followed some of the groups of teachers into their faculty meetings, you saw a lot of very positive group interactions. Of course, there was the business of the day and getting some of those compliance issues taken care of, but there was a very positive energy among the schools between teachers and staff, and that was due to the attitude that those teachers brought with them and then the approaches that the principals took while they were there. I thought they did an excellent job. And then, of course, Shanna and all of our district staff helping run and manage the food, you know, Paul and his staff handing out T-shirts, welcoming everyone. I appreciate how many sets of hands contribute to making that first day a positive experience for all of the teachers who come through. We've received a lot of positive feedback about it, that it was a good day, just as we did last year, and we're excited to build on that as we continue with our pancake breakfast this year and all of the other little activities that we try to do to demonstrate appreciation for our staff and for the positive work that they do. So those are the big things that have been going on. Again, not a whole lot of new stuff has occurred since we've last interacted. The staff at Logan High has been extremely positive today. They've been dusting and moving and carrying boxes and moving desks. And in spite of, you know, the cleanup issues and some of the challenges that they've faced just getting things ready, the overwhelming feel is very positive. And that is to the credit of the teachers, is to the credit of the administration over there, that they have been able to continue to push through that. And the most common refrain that Principal Auld and I heard today was, it's going to be fine. You know, yeah, there's still a, that section still needs to be painted. It's going to be fine. We're going to be fine with students. In fact, he shared a number of stories with me of teachers who said, it's going to be fine. We've got our table set up. You know, the TVs, we know people are going to get the TVs set up. We know that Dave and his staff have been working a tremendous number of hours to get that done. We know it's going to be taken care of. We're going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. And that was a tremendous relief, because you want to go in and provide as much support and get everything as quote-unquote ready as you can. And some there are just snags and some things that still got to get cleaned up. But the staff there has been fantastic as they've prepared for tomorrow. So I'm excited for tomorrow to be a great first day for the freshmen, and Thursday for everybody else at the high school, and tomorrow's going to be a fun day across the district.
All right. Hello? Oh, it's working. Perfect. Thank you very much, Superintendent. We look forward to the first day of school starting, and it'll be exciting. Yeah.
It will.
It will be very exciting. So, calendar items we have, Stacy's put in board book, which you all see. So just make sure that you're aware of all of the
it's nice to have all of that
pancake breakfast, the boundary study meetings, the school board, our board school visits, which were approved on our calendar. The great thing is that we have a lot of opportunities to be able to interact with our community, which is kind of goes in line with what our board goals were. I want to make sure that we've got a board member, at least one board member at the boundary study meeting. So
what time is this?
I believe we have them at 6. I believe we have those scheduled for 6:30. Let me double check.
There's no time limit.
So I'm not sure exactly the best way to identify who will be attending those, but maybe if we for sure, if you would represent
6 p.m., so I'm sorry,
your elementary school that you're assigned to.
And if you can't.
And then if you can't, then have somebody else go in your place. And then if
you can go to others, please feel free to do that as well.
And you think they're at 6 o'clock?
They are at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Does that cover everybody?
Yeah. Anne has 2, right? You have Ellis and Bridger.
Woodruff and Ellis.
It's kind of debate. We kind of go back and forth.
Make sure one of us.
Yeah, so if you'll just make sure that you're at your elementary school,
and then I would assume that we'll probably.
And we all have.
We'll try to be to local high and then the middle school.
MLS also is in my district.
Yeah,
right? MLS
and
Adams.
The boundary study is for elementary school, but you're having them at the high school and the middle school anyway?
Those will be community meetings. This was our year where we were going to do community outreach meetings at each school anyway. We're just going to do them early in the year, in part, so if we can catch some of the parents who perhaps weren't able to come to our elementary boundary study meetings, we can hopefully catch them at some of the secondary ones.
Do you want all?
I imagine that there will be less conversation about elementary boundaries at those meetings than at the elementary, but we want it to be available as an option.
Do you want all of the board at the high school and the middle school? As many as possible?
As many as possible.
Okay.
To all of them. I mean, I don't see a problem
okay.
with that. But as long as you're representing your school that's in your boundary, then you can go to the other ones as your schedule allows.
Because I know everybody has everybody going to the middle school. You have, you know, the middle school itself is in my boundary, but you all, your constituents from all your other schools, I mean, there's only one place.
Just like the high school's in mine.
Yeah. And we all go, right.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that we don't have identified here is that we've talked about the ribbon cutting, what would you call it? The welcome back.
The open house, the welcome back open house.
So Frank is working on a date with Ken, and that will be under the direction of the district as well as the school.
When we say it's really done, come and look.
Yeah, so he will be in he'll be getting us information about that open house as it gets a little bit closer.
Do you have a range of time?
Sometime between now and December.
And the main reason for that is we would like to do something
good.
As early as possible. We recognize that with the challenges with the humidity and the concrete on the main floor, it's quite possible that the tile isn't laid until spring. So we've had some discussion of, well, how long do you want to wait before you have the open house? On one hand, you'd like to have the building completely finished, buttoned up, everything polished and had a nice shine. The other hand, you also don't want to wait so long that it becomes anticlimactic. So we're trying to work out some details and identify what do we think is a reasonable time frame, and what would we be able to do to get it set up in that time frame.
Can't they just use a different adhesive?
No. Okay. Not if we want warranty to be in effect.
And the old glue, the environment people won't let you use.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So, I think that between now and December is an excellent. That fits my calendar.
Yes, there you go. But for sure, we'll definitely want to go there and definitely want to have our community in and see the amazing building. But I agree with Frank. We want to have it a little bit more polished than it currently.
I thought that you might have something like to say, between now and October 10th. That's what I was expecting you to say.
No, we're not quite that close. All right, anything else on calendaring items? We do have...
Yes. Tomorrow's the deadline for open enrollment. So you need to go through, and everybody needs to go through that process, whether you're going to waive, whatever you're going to do. If it's all going to be the same as last year, you still need to go through the process. So just go to Infinity HR. You should have received an email from Shelley Bowman with that deadline. So there's links on there that you can click and go through, log in, and...
So are we supposed to print out that paperwork and sign it?
I did it before we came.
Okay. Because I saw it on there, but I was trying to fill it out on there, but obviously it's not in that format.
Did you get the email?
Do you have that paper?
Mm-hmm.
Did you
get
the email? When we're done with the meeting, Jeff?
Yeah, I can print it out right now.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm happy to sign it. I just hadn't printed it out yet, so.
Okay.
Any other calendaring items? I guess we can just sit here and work on that right now.
Ethan Shelley.
All right, so we do have back-to-school nights tonight. If we get over to...
What time are they starting?
About 6, all of them.
Here it is.
Except for Wilson.
Wilson, it was at 5:30, right?
No, it's like the 31st.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's not even tonight.
All right, so
the middle school is tonight.
We're going to adjourn this board meeting at 6:26. Thank you, everyone, for coming to our district office. Thank you so much for coming.
I appreciate you, directors.
Can I just accept everything?
Okay, probably not. We got to open it up and.
Can I buy these shorts?
I have no idea what my user or number is or anything.
Like,
I don't know. I don't even care. He got away from me.
Yeah.
What
do
I
do?
All right. What's the next one?
Christy, did you like it?
Thank you, Stacy. Hey, it's Frank's birthday.
I knew it was
next
just
week. 31st.
We have cake.
You should sing for yourself. Go ahead, belt it out, Frank.
Happy
birthday to Frank!
Okay, so.
Happy birthday, Frank.
Just a second. Let me ask you
one. We'll be the first ones to wish you happy birthday.
Okay.
Who wants a waiver form?
Yeah, he sends me notes.
So, if I just want to keep the same thing, what do I do?
You go through and just click save and continue.
There's no...
You need to go to Infinity HR.
I couldn't log on.
I don't need this, right? Just do it for me. My brain is ready to explode. I've been talking to ARS today, asking that, do you think they could schedule to fix my house in the next 2 weeks? No. Why would I have? Okay, so I'm a first-time user. So I will have to pull date of birth, get back over there.